Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of man, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Great. Thank you, Debbie, for reading that for us. Thank you, Joanne, for leading the service. Love that way of doing the prayers. I was waiting for us to start praying for vests or shaving or I don't know. I don't know whether your mind was going the same way. Obviously, I was concentrating as well. But that was great. It was a good way of doing it. Okay, let's pray and ask God to help us because we come to his word together. Father, please teach us. Help us as we look at your word. Help us, whatever our age, that we would grasp what you're saying to us, what you're speaking to us as we come to your word. And help us, therefore, to live out what you tell us to do. Amen. I wonder if you've ever felt excluded, ever felt like you weren't allowed in somewhere. Maybe you actually weren't allowed in somewhere. Boys and girls, I wonder if you can think of a time when you desperately wanted to go in somewhere, but you weren't allowed to. Maybe you were going past McDonald's and you wanted to head in, but your parents said no. Or you wanted to go and play somewhere and your parents said no. Parents, you come off badly in this illustration, I'm afraid. But adults, parents, maybe you can think of a time as well where you thought, I'd love to get in there, but I can't. I love watching cricket, and the place I love watching cricket the most is Lord's Cricket Ground. It is a beautiful ground. It's a wonderful place. But you know, there's a place that I have never got into in there, and that's the pavilion, the members-only area. And I would love to get in there to see what it's like. It's a beautiful place. But you know, if I were to go up to the doorway and I wanted to get in, the person on the door would say, are you a member? I would say, no. And he wouldn't let me in. Bit mean. But in order to be a member there, you've got to have had your name on the list for years and years and years. Probably since before you were born, you've got to have your name on the list. And then you've got to pay money. And you think, oh, it's probably not worth it. I'm never going to get in there. I'm not going to do it. I would love to, but I can't. You know what? That is true. That was true for all of us. In a very special way, very particular way, that we were excluded. I wonder what you think about the church, about not just Emmanuel Church, but the church as a whole, all the churches, all the people of God. I wonder what you think about church, how important you think it is. Actually, more important question is what God thinks about church. And we're going to see in the passage that was read what God thinks about church. Now, the first thing you need to see is the problem that we all had, the state we were all in, the fact that we were excluded. Now, just have a look at the verses. So open up your Bibles. If you've got a Bible, if you're on the front row, there are some under your seats. Open up your Bibles to page 1174. Page 1174. And just if you just missed the first verse, so look at verse 12. Sorry, missed the 11th verse. And look at verse 12. And see there what it says, the state we were in. Now, this is the state we were in sort of, if you went back about 2,000 years. This is the state we were in. Now, I know you weren't there then, but this is the state we were in. Verse 12, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Now just think those words, what they mean. They're saying that we, as those who weren't God's people, were excluded. We couldn't come in. After all, remember, who was it that God dealt with in the Old Testament? Which group of people was it? Well, it was mostly the people of Israel, wasn't it? It wasn't exclusively, but it was mostly the people of Israel. And God chose them, and he said, I'm going to deal with them, with those people. And that was a good thing that God did. But if we'd been around then, we wouldn't have been able to get in. We wouldn't have been part of God's people. We were excluded. Interestingly, it says excluded from Christ. Even back then, it was excluded from Christ, because Christ has always been, has always existed. So we were excluded from Christ. We couldn't be part of Israel. We were foreigners. We were separate. And the conclusion there is, we were without God and without hope. So, if you can see on the screen, it was a bit like this. There's God. There's God's people. And there's us. And there was a barrier. There's a barrier between God and people, and that barrier was our sin. And, furthermore, there's a barrier between us and God's people. Now, this is maybe new to you, or this may be different thinking to what you're used to, because we often talk about the fact that there's a barrier between us and God, and that's true, and that's our sin. But don't forget also, in the Old Testament times, there's a barrier between us and God's people. We couldn't be God's people. We were in big trouble, excluded from God. We couldn't be God's friends. We couldn't be God's children. We were in big trouble. But what has God done for us? Verse 13. Have a look at verse 13. Page 1174. Verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. God has paid the price so that both barriers can come down. Both barriers. Not just the barrier between us and God, but between us and God's people. We can now come in. We can be part of God's people. You don't have to go to Israel and become an Israelite. You can be part of God's people. And notice, as you look down a bit further, verse 14, it tells us about the barrier between us and God's people. So he says, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. So what's that saying? The barrier between us and God's people has gone. Jesus destroyed it when he died on the cross. But also the barrier between us and God has gone. Verse 16 says, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. So, the barrier also between us and God is gone. So, here's the good news. The barriers are all gone. The barriers, because of our sin, but also because of the law, have gone. So we are now one people under God. That is what the church is. So the church, what is the church? The church is anyone who trusts in Jesus. That's our first point. The church is anyone who trusts in Jesus. It doesn't matter what country you come from, whether you're from Iraq or whether you're from Syria, whether you're British, whether you're South African, whether you're Welsh or Scottish or Australian, even after last night. It doesn't matter which country you came from, you can become part of God's people. One people, because anyone who trusts in Jesus can be God's people. Now that's kind of the background, that's kind of the basis of this. And we're going to see in a few minutes, therefore, what God says the church is. So keep your Bibles open, and we'll come back to this in just a moment. Joanne. Great stuff. Okay, so what God has done for us. He has brought us together. Like I say, we tend to think, and this probably shows that we're a bit individualistic, that we tend to think being a Christian is just about me and God. It's me and God, me and God, me and God. But and therefore I come to church and it's all about, well, it's about me and God. But actually what God is saying to us is it is far bigger than that. It is about you and the people that he has called to himself as well. That we are one body. Therefore, we need to have a look back in our verses again to see what God therefore says about the church. So we saw the church is anyone who trusts in Jesus. You trust in Jesus, you're a part of the church. But what else? The church is... Okay, have a look at verse 19. Page 1174. It says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Now just dwell on that last, those last two words. Therefore, the church is God's family. That's the word. It's family. It's household. We are God's family together. Now that's really important. I wonder if you've ever played the game Happy Families. Have you played the game Happy Families? Now, when you play Happy Families, you're looking for to build sets, to build families, aren't you, in your hand? And the way that you do that when you play Happy Families is you're trying to get all of the same kind of people, aren't you? So you're trying to get, well, if you go for the old version, you're trying to get all of the bakers and whatever else there are, the butchers, yeah? What else have you got?
Dyers.
Say again?
Dyers.
The dyers? Or the painters. Oh, okay. I don't wonder which version you've got. This is interesting. Okay. But yeah, you're trying to get, and they're all the, but they're all the same. They look the same, don't they? Now, look around you here. Now, actually do it. Look around you. Now, do we look very similar to one another? Well, in some ways we kind of do. But in lots of ways we don't. Okay, if you're doing Happy Families, you're trying to get them together, you wouldn't necessarily pick this group of people to say this is going to be the family, is it? Would you? But that's part of the point. The point is God saying, all of my people are a family together. So you look round, you see one another around you, we meet together and we go, this is family. That's why, it's only a little gesture towards it, but during the service, you notice, we don't call them the notices, we call it church family news. That at least means every week we are saying, we are a church family together. And that's really important, that's really significant. I wonder, can you name the film? Name the film, boys and girls. Can you name the film? What's the film? Max, what do you got? Ice Age, it is. Which one, though? Can you tell me? I can't see. Is that James or Oliver over there? I can't see. Which one? Say it again. You know what? I'm not sure it is Ice Age 3. I think, but you're almost there. Vision members in unison, shout it out together. Thank you very much, with extra information. Ice Age 4, and at the end of Ice Age 4, as the credits are coming up, they're singing, what are they singing? We are family. And it's ridiculous, because during it, they're saying that we are a family together, but you'll notice they're an odd bunch, aren't they? You've got a mammoth, you've got saber-toothed tigers, you've got possums, you've got a sloth, and the sloth's granny, and what else? Mammoth. I thought I said mammoth at the beginning. The swordfish aren't part of their family. But anyway, they're saying, we are family. We're family together, but we're an odd kind of family. We're a weird family. But the point is, we've got one another's backs. We look out for one another. We may be an odd family together, but we are family. That's what God's done with the church. He said, I'm going to bring these people together to love one another and be family together. Therefore, a change needs to take place in the way that we think about church. And for lots of us, we don't make this change. And we've talked about this a little bit before. I've realised that I should have used a better word for this. But anyway, there we go. It's going from consumer to family. Now, I thought actually the first word there could have been customer. Yesterday, in my family, we went shopping. We went shopping for shoes, and it was an ordeal. Shopping for shoes always is, though, isn't it? I mean, it just is. No, you disagree. Some disagree. Anyway, we went shopping for shoes. And, of course, we were consumers. We were customers. I should have used the word customer there, really. We were customers. So we went into the shoe shop, and we had a fun time trying on lots of different shoes. Or one of us did. Had lots of fun trying on lots of different pairs of shoes. But, of course, as a customer in the shop, you go in the shop and you say, well, we'd like to try on these shoes. And if they say, well, we don't have them, then you go, well, we'll go somewhere else, thank you. Or if in the whole experience you say, you know what, I'm not enjoying this, I don't like this shop, you go somewhere else. That's what being a customer is. If you don't like it, you go somewhere else. And if the price isn't good, if the product isn't good, if the service isn't good, then you just say, well, frankly, we'll go somewhere else. That's all right. Now, that's what being a customer is. Don't change that. Be like that when you're in a shop. But, of course, when it comes to church, when we first start going to church, we treat church like that because we come along and we say, am I getting what I want from this? Is this the kind of place I want to be? Well, of course you do that when you first start going, you know, looking around churches and seeing what there is. And you start going, well, is this going to be, you know, I'm a bit of a customer here. But we've got to make the change, haven't we? Because if we always think of church like a customer, then that's bad. We need to be thinking, no, we're family. And when you have family, family comes first, doesn't it? Before yourself, before your own desires. And you wouldn't do the same kind of thing when it comes to family. So when it comes to, say, you go have a family dinner, let's say you're having a big family dinner. Do you have these sometimes where you have big family dinners, you have all the relatives over, and you all gather around, and imagine if you were to treat that as a customer. You would come to the meal and you go, well, I'd like roast chicken, please. They say, well, we haven't done roast chicken, we've done spaghetti bolognese. But frankly, I'm not happy with that. I'm not going to have that. I'm going to go to a different family, a family that knows how to do roast chicken. And I'm not going to be with you. Thank you. Goodbye. You wouldn't do that. You go, well, it doesn't really matter what the food's like. It doesn't matter what the food's like. You say, no, I'm here to be with the family. And then afterwards you say, you know what, I would quite like roast chicken. But you don't say that during it. And you don't say, right, I'm off now. You say, I'm here because it's family. Now, at church, being a family together, we kind of got to get out of the mentality of that we're customers. And it's easy, you know, it's easy to slip into that. But we've got to get more into the attitude of we're a family. Now, you're not a family that's devoted to me as the leader, of course. Of course you're not. I like the fact that some are laughing at that idea. Of course we're not. No, we're devoted to the family because it is God's family. Because he has brought us together at the expense of his son. Okay, it cost him. And he did it to draw us together as a family. Not just to himself, although yes to himself, but together as a family. Now, that doesn't mean to say, practically speaking, that you have to come to everything that we put on. It doesn't mean that you've got to be here for kangaroos and kangaroos and then this and that, and they, you know, that you've got to come to absolutely everything. But it does mean that we say, we are church family together. We're going to be committed to one another. Because God's brought us together. Okay, what difference is that going to make to you? What difference does that need to make to the way that you think about church? Maybe the way you talk about church. Maybe the way you pray about church. What about those in your group, the people that you particularly know, maybe in a home group, maybe in other groupings, in your children's groups or youth groups? How do you view one another? Because you've got to be thinking, this isn't You know, this is us. We're family together. And therefore, we want to have fun together. And we want to do things like have lunches after services together and picnics together and that kind of thing. And I would love you to be thinking, if you're someone who thinks, you know what, I won't go to those things because they don't suit me very well. And, it's not the right time. It doesn't work for me. Can I encourage you to think, let's think family. We go because we're family together, because God's brought us together. Okay, so, lost my clicker. There we go. God's family. Church is God's family. Last point. Church is God's building. Have another look at the verses to see where this says this. So, end of verse 19, beginning of verse 20. Well, let's start at the beginning of verse 20, where it says, verse 20. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Okay, Paul has slipped seamlessly into talking about the church as being a building. Now, don't get confused. We are not talking about this building. Okay, we're not talking about this building. He is saying you are a building, we are a building, that God is building together. Okay, now, foundations. Where are foundations in a building? Where are the foundations of a building? Anyone? Anyone? Where are they? Shannon, you go for it. No, they're not. Well, they might be. I'm not an architect. I don't know. But they might extend out. But they're down, aren't they? You were going to say down, were you? They're underneath. Foundations are underneath. Here's someone laying foundations for a building. There you go. Putting in the stuff that goes under the ground. And if you don't have foundations, this is what happens. You get a building that just falls over. It doesn't work as a building. What are our foundations? Did you notice in the verse, what does it say our foundations are? It says, built on the foundation of, strange, the apostles and prophets. Now, for us, that means that's the Bible. So the foundations, it's like the stuff underneath is going to keep us solid, is the Bible. So that's why at the centre of what we do, there's a whole load else that we do, which is great. Singing, actually singing is part of word ministry, really. But that what we do, it's got to be centred around the Word of God, the Bible. Now, there are loads of churches where they've given up on that, where they say, let's not bother. You know, the Bible is a good reference book. It's an authority. We'll have a little look at it at some point. But we said, no, actually, God says the foundation of what you are is the Bible. That's got to be underneath you. Without that, you're going to fall over. You've got to have the Bible underneath. Now, it also says what the cornerstone is. What's the cornerstone? Have a look. What's the cornerstone of this building? Verse 20. Yeah, Jesus. Christ Jesus is the cornerstone. Now, what's the cornerstone? Cornerstone is the cornerstone. It's the stone which is at the corner. It's the most important one because you lay it first. I don't, because I've never built a building. But if you built a building, you'd put that one there first to make sure the corner is in the right place. If you get the corner in the right place and it's going in the right directions, then the whole building is going to be right. The walls at the other end are going to meet together at the right point. You're not going to have a big gap there, are you, where the air comes whistling in? You don't want that in a building. You want it all to be square and right and good. So you want to have your cornerstone right. So the cornerstone is the most important stone. And that stone, for us, as we are built together, is Jesus. He's got to be at the centre. Now, he is at the centre by having his word as the foundation, interestingly. Where do you think, have you spotted this anywhere? Where would you find this stone? Have you ever seen this stone anywhere? Where is it? Shannon spotted it. Where is it? It's back over there. It's on that wall over there. Now, you might not be able to read it, but it says, this stone was laid by Miss E.M. Bond on the 29th of September, 1934. And it says at the bottom there, Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 20, which are these verses that we're looking at, which says, the cornerstone is Jesus. That's what we've got to be. It's not about this building. It's about you and me. Foundation of the Bible, cornerstone is Jesus. It's got to be about him. And last thing, who's going to live in this building? Who lives in this building that we are? It's an odd idea, isn't it, that you're part of a building. You're a brick in the building. Who lives in this building? Have a look in the verses. Verse 21 and 22. Who lives in this building? The end, yeah? Almost. Almost. Have a look. Last verse. Have a look again. Someone other than my children, but thank you for spotting it. Having a look. What does it say? Someone else further back. Just to show, prove to me you're still awake. Who lives in this bit? Almost. Verse 22. Max, save us. God. God. The Holy Spirit. Absolutely. Thank you, Max. Absolutely. So, interesting, this building that we are being built together as, this is, there is something supernatural about it. There is something about God, where God says, I'm going to live among you. It's not that God lives, don't ever think that God lives in a particular part of this building. No. Big mistake. God lives amongst us, in us, as a church family. Yes, as individuals, but also as we come together. Particularly as we come together. So, who lives in this building? The Holy Spirit. So the church is anyone who trusts in Jesus. The church is, overlapping. Church is God's family. Let's see where this one goes. And the church is God's building. But notice, please, therefore, church is really, really important, isn't it? Therefore, if this is God's doing, now, you're likely to think, well, yes, of course, you're a vicar, or sort of, you're a vicar, you're bound to say that. You know, it'd be like... we spoke to someone recently about swimming lessons, and they were saying for your children, oh yes, you must have swimming lessons, they must, you know, come and learn to swim. But of course they would say that, they're a swimming instructor, and you think, yeah, of course. Now, of course, it is good to have your children swimming. But you can't help feeling, well, maybe you've got a slight ulterior motive here, that you're trying to get people in your class. And you might be thinking, well, you know, you're a clergyman, of course you're going to say church is important. Please notice, this is not me saying church is important. This is God saying church is important, because God says, I bought you at great price to bring you together to be a family and to be a building, to be built together. Foundation of the Bible, cornerstone of Jesus, the Holy Spirit living among us. Therefore, church is really important. How's that going to change the way you think about coming to church, about one another, about serving one another and being part of the church family? There could be some here who think, yeah, nice idea, but I just don't feel a part of it. I just feel like I'm excluded. I feel like I'm not really a part of the family. Actually, God has taken down those barriers. Therefore, if we live as though those barriers aren't there, actually we will draw more together. We sometimes put those barriers up ourselves. And we need to say, actually, they're not there. They're not real. We need to take them down and live as church family. So, church family is all who trust in Jesus. It's God's family and it's God's building. It is really important that we meet together. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your work. Thank you that you paid the great price that we could be one family, one body, that we could be a building being built together on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone, with the Holy Spirit dwelling among us, in us. Father, thank you that although it cost you the death of your Son, thank you that you paid that price, that we could be church. Father, we're sorry for our attitudes where we get this wrong. Please change us. Thank you that you forgive us. And please help us to love one another with a deeper and deeper love. Amen.